Good morning. It's lovely to see so many of you here this morning. Welcome to Biggleton Baptist Church. My name's Steve. I'll be leading the first part of the service. Martin will be coming to preach to us later. And of course, this is our harvest service this morning. So if you have something with you, there will be an opportunity, if you wish to come and bring it out a bit later. But this morning, I thought I would start with Philippians 4, verses 6, and a little bit further on before we sing three songs of worship, which will start with, "Be still in the presence of the Lord." Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And have the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Wherever you've been this week, however busy you've been, however not busy you've been, however anxious, however troubled, however easy a week you've had, however pleasant a week you've had, I hope you've appreciated that the Lord has been with you all week. I think sometimes we forget that we have the Lord with us every single moment of every single day, whether it's we're having the best day or the worst day. And I just encourage you, for the first couple of songs this morning, we're going to start with Be Still in the Presence, and then bringing it back to the heart of worship, that you just soak the Lord in. Sing if you want to sing, listen if you want to listen, but just be still in the presence of the Lord. Please join me and stand if you are able to.
Come bow before Him now with prayer. you, Jesus.
Thank you for being in our lives. Pray, just spend this next few seconds just thinking about how grateful all that the Lord has done for you. His presence in our lives, His comfort, His support, the energy that He gives us, and simply just being there. As we move into our next song, Praise the Lord, I really encourage you to lift yourself and really praise out loud our Lord. Really praise Him through singing this song of Praise the Lord, O my soul, I won't be quiet.
I'm sure.
have to praise the Lord. Just call it out now.
Thank you, Father, for a safe place to live.
Thank you, Lord, for a brand new day.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. I have a couple of notices. Good morning to you again, if coming a little bit late. I have a couple of notices. First of all, the International Lunch Day, which was scheduled for today. Hopefully you've seen the communication about that, but just in case you haven't, we're really sorry that has had to be cancelled today, or postponed rather, and it will now be on the 26th of October. Please keep your eyes out on the notice sheet just for confirmation of that. But yeah, it won't be happening today. Really apologise to anyone that's come today thinking that that was happening. I have a notice to read out whilst Ellen comes and gets ready for her notice. Just a quick reminder that Audrey Smith's funeral and Thanksgiving service are on Friday the 10th of October. For catering purposes, if you know that you'll be attending, please could you let Chris Fennell, who is somewhere just here, please let Chris Fennell know so that she can pass on the approximate numbers to the family. Chris and Bob are also collecting thoughts from members of our church, from people who knew Audrey. These thoughts are to be used during the Thanksgiving service, so please jot them down, email them, or message any thoughts you'd like to be included. Contact information is on church suite, or come and see them after the service, or come and see me if you can't, they're not quite sure who she is, and we will pass those comments on. Ellen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
First of all, I want to say thank you, because I stood up here last week, gave a notice about this bit of paper, and I had lots of people give them back to me, so thank you. Thank you if you've done that. But if you missed it last week, or you've forgotten, this bit of paper is about photo consent. So we as a church really want to be a church where people feel like they can come to find out about what it means to know Jesus. We want it to be somewhere where people feel welcome. We want to open the door. And the first thing people often do is look at the website. That's going to be the place they go to before they ever walk through the door. And so we want to make sure that the website's really up to date and that the photos really reflect like the real people, the people, us. So we're asking people, if you're able to fill in this form, which is a consent to say, I'm okay with my photo being on the website. We're not going to have very close up, but we want some general, you know, pictures of the things that we do, the activities that go on here. And so if you're able to, please could you get hold of one of these forms and fill it in? They're at the back in the entrance area. But if you can't find one, then, oh, they're also were sent out with the church notices, I think. So, yeah, so hopefully you've seen one, you can print it off, but please do that, and if you could give it to me, that would be excellent. But thanks again, those who've already done it.
Thank you. As I said earlier, it is our harvest service today, so there'll be an opportunity a little bit later if you've brought anything with you to come and bring it out. But before then, I need some help. And I was thinking this morning, who shall I go for? Who shall I? What category of person shall I go for? And I chose the back row. So, if you're on the back row, hard luck, you can't move now. There's some quite pleased looks, there's a couple of worried looks. Gareth is definitely looking as though he's in trouble. So, back row, I've got a little job for you to do, if you feel able to. Okay? You ready, back row? All I need you to do is reach down, just underneath your seat, you'll find something taped just underneath. If you could, there should be enough for kind of everyone. Don't open it. And back row, what I'd like you to do, in a cheerful as manner as possible, I'd like you to come and give it to someone. There was a little sigh there. You'll understand when it comes round. The back row all had a little sweet attached. And they're just coming and giving out the sweet. Would anyone else like a sweet? There we go. I can give another one. I think I've got a couple more. There'll be a chance in a minute. There'll be another chance, don't worry. Have we finished back row? Not yet, sorry. Oh. So, just the look on your faces changed. As soon as you realised, the first look was, what's that silly man at the front talking about now? He always does something ridiculous. But then when you realised it was a little gift and a little sweet, I saw beaming smiles. And it wasn't because you were looking at me. Interestingly, the back row, well done, because you could have ruined the whole thing this morning. Your faces went from, what are we doing, to, oh, this is nice, thinking I'm going to get it, to then to, oh, actually, I'm not going to get this. But interestingly, when you knew what you were doing with it, and you started giving that, your faces also changed to big smiles. So I need two willing volunteers to come down and be put, not from the back row. And it may be that I've run out of chocolate. Okay, I do have a brother and sister pair, so we better have the brother and sister pair. Could one of you come and sit here? I've forgotten your name, sorry. Christopher and Charlotte. If you can come and stand, sit as far away from your brother as you can possibly get. Christopher, I need to move your chair. How competitive are you? Right. Well, it's Harvest Festival, so I thought we'd have a little competition, just because I know how competitive we can be. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, ooh, and a half. I need to move the chair. Right, are you ready? I'm going to ask you a question. All you've got to do, when you know the answer to the question, obviously, run to the chair, tap the chair, first one gets to answer, and there might be a prize. But there might not. Are you ready? So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you either a fruit or a vegetable, as in I'm going to say a fruit or a vegetable. You have to not shout out, you have to get to the chair, tap the chair, and tell me whether you think it is a fruit or a vegetable. Do you understand? Got it? Helen, could you help me by being the judge so I don't get in trouble?
Yeah, Mr.
Hooper. Are you ready? The first one is banana. Fruit! Is she right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Could you go and give that to someone? Yeah. Ready for the next one? Because you won the first one, just moving ever so slightly. Second one, we'll go tricky with this one. We'll go tricky. Carrot. You were supposed to run. Okay. Vegetable. Go and give it to someone. I'll move back to the middle. One all. Ready for a third one? Ready? Ready? Cherry. I'm thinking just that. Oh, no. Judge said there. Judge said there. So what your answer is? Is he right? Cherry fruit? Oh, come on. You must know your simple fruit and vegetables. You can have that one. I've got two more. Ready? Who won? Who was that? I've got to move the chair this way, haven't I?
Yeah.
A little closer to your sister. Is it? Easy. Bottom on the chair, please. No, on the chair. On the chair. How? Where's mum? How do you cope with this at home? Oh, my word. Okay. They're like this when you ask them to do washing up, aren't they? And tidy bedrooms. No? Okay, I'm going out of that. Onion.
Garlic.
Yeah. Garlic. Just go in this side. Are you all right? Yeah. You've got to give me the answer first.
It's a vegetable.
Vegetable. Happy with that, everyone?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. You can keep that one.
I can eat it.
You can keep it. You're up to your mum whether you can eat it. definitely staying out of that one. Okay. One more. Are you ready? Sure. Tomato.
Fruit. Charlotte.
Wait. Which?
Charlotte.
Charlotte says fruit. Yeah. Hang on. Hands up for fruit. Oh, smarty pants. Hands up for vegetable. Well done. Thank you for being honest, a couple of you. Okay, well done. Well, as you've been such good guests, you got the one that you keep. Could you go guests? That's not really the right word, is it? Competitors, could you go and give those to whoever you can find? Now, that could have gone badly wrong, but I had a hunch that as soon as people know they are doing something nice for someone else, whatever their initial thoughts might be, their face changes. Back row, I couldn't have bribed you any better, because that was perfect. Your faces said everything. But equally here, both children were giving something away, but they were doing it in a cheerful manner. And just in case anyone's feeling left out, anyone feeling left out? Well done, Cliff. Yeah. I'm going for the back row. I've nearly got there. Yep. Yep. I'm not throwing that close. Yeah. Come on, keep going. I'm going to go until I've finished.
Martin wants one.
Yes, no? Yes, no?
Yay.
No. I'll leave one here for you, Martin. Okay. There you go. Have we all got one? Oh, man.
Hey.
Thank you. Right, have I missed any young person that... Oh, my word.
Hello, boy, there.
Here we go. Just for reference, you're not young. Okay, if I have left anyone out, there's a couple more here. No, I can't give Martin one. I just can't. But I think my point is, and Martin's going to talk a little bit more about it later, is cheerfully giving. You know, to be a cheerful giver, whether that's a chocolate bar, which is really easy to demonstrate in front of, you know, a few people, or whether it's the gifts you have, or the time you have, or the possessions that you have, it doesn't really matter, and God does not mind. Everyone in this room has got something to give. And I know... from personal experience, at times you think, "Where I have not got anything else I can give, Lord. There is nothing I can do. There's nothing that anyone wants of me that I can give." Everyone has got something. And I'm just going to have a short period of reflection. I just want you to think that a bit later, before we'll come to that. We'll have a short period of reflection later where I just want you to think of what... And I find the word gifts... a really great word, but also a word that I feel can put me off sometime. Because a gift implies something big, but a gift can be anything. Anything that you have got, the time you've got, a 5 minutes here, a phone call to someone, something that you have got to give to someone is a gift that you can give. But I just encourage anyone now, before we sing another song of worship, if anyone has got any harvest offerings that they're able to come and bring out the front, can you make your way forward now? Just put them on the table. If anyone's got anything, if you've got it for later on, that's fine to bring it out. And also, all of our donations today will go to our own food bank. And if you haven't brought anything this morning, or you've forgotten, or you want to give something extra, there are a couple of things you can do. First of all, you can donate financially through the banking system. Which is really helpful because it enables us to buy specifically what is needed at a specific time. But also an app which I wrote down somewhere, Bank the Food, thank you. The Bank the Food app is exactly that. It tells you what our food bank needs now. So if you need any support and help in setting up the app, or please come and see me at the end, and I'll point you in the right direction so that you can get that app so you always know. But please, if anyone's got anything, thank you, come out. Thank you. Thank you. Lovely. Yeah, just put it all on. Thank you. Got it. Lovely, thank you very much. Thank you. Wonderful, thank you. Benice, you'd be proud of me, nothing's fallen off yet. Lovely, thank you. I think we're just about full on the table. Oh no, no, we can get it all on, we can get it all on. Thank you very much. That's it. Well done. Thank you. Mark spoken too soon, Bernice. Lovely, thank you very much. How we doing? Brilliant. Lovely. To the back. Brilliant. That's great. Just pop them anywhere. Lovely. I'm just going to pray. Thank you so much. That's really generous and really kind of everyone. And again, it's the smiles. Thank you so much. Lovely. The smiles on people's faces as they're putting them on that giving, the cheerful giving. So just join me in prayer for a few minutes. Lord, I thank you for everything here. I thank you for the generous donations that people have made, whether they've made them here in front of me now, whether they've made them in the boxes at the back, whether they've made it through the banking system, or they're always giving to the food bank. I just thank you for everything that is here. I pray, Lord, that our food bank here at Biggleswade Baptist Church is run smoothly, is run effectively, and supports the people that it needs to support. I thank you for every single person that contributes to that, whether it be through the food or whether it be practically, physically, on a day-to-day basis. I just lift all those people up to you, Lord, in thanks. Lord, we know around the world there are so many people in so many difficult circumstances. Circumstances where this food would literally be life-saving. And I pray here and now, Lord, for each and every person, whichever country they're in, whichever corner of the world that they are in, I lift them up to you, Lord, for you to support them, for aid to get through, for barriers to be knocked down, for foods to grow. Pray, Lord, for all those that are hungry, that they right here, right now, you do miracles. Miracles that will make a difference to everybody. As we sing our next song, I Can Sing of You Forever, I pray and ask that you just sing out so that we can show our Lord how important he is to us. Join me as we stand and sing one more song.
Yeah.
groups. I pray that each and every one would know you, would know your love. Those that are remaining here, just pick a young one as they go out. Call them the one in red. You don't need to know their name. The one with blonde hair, it doesn't matter. Lord knows who you're talking about. And just pray for them. Pray that, they will know you, Lord. From 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Please have a seat.
Thanks, Steve. Morning, everyone. Just before I start with some reflections on that and a few other passages this morning, tonight we have our monthly communion service at 6:30 till 7:30, because everybody's invited. I'd like to do it slightly differently this week, this month, if we can, and that is just to invite you, if you're coming, to bring something that is precious to you from what God has said to you over the last week, month, year, your lifetime, whatever. It might be a particular passage of scripture, it might be a word of prophecy someone's prayed over you, might even be a song, or you might have a testimony of how God has been working in your life recently. And it's one thing we don't do enough, we don't share these stories enough together, so I want to give the opportunity tonight for anyone who's coming. If you don't bring anything with you, it's going to be a very short service, but that might be a good idea anyway. But if you can, please just, if you're coming tonight, please bring something to share of what God has been doing in your life. And it can be as simple as, the Lord has blessed me, because there's some chocolate buttons here on the lectern. Thank you, Steve, for that. Now, I've been in ministry for nearly 30 years now, and one thing I've noticed is how harvest celebrations have changed. They seem to be on the way out. I remember even 20 years ago, people bringing loads of food and vegetables into church to celebrate. And at our last church, we actually had a farming family who would bring sheaves of corn, put them in the doorway to the church, and use them to decorate the inside of the church as well. But perhaps the best thing about that was on Harvest Sunday, the Farmer Gray, Peter, would bring his tractor into town. And we had a little driveway up the side of the church, and he'd bring it into town. This is the high street of this community, so stop all the traffic that's coming, because there's still traffic coming on the high street on a Sunday. And he'd reverse it up into the parking space by the church so that the kids could all come and have a climb on it afterwards, which was really lovely. And then one year he invited the minister to drive it round the town. I had a blast. He looked absolutely terrified. But generally the amount that we bring has got smaller and smaller. And I think there might be two reasons for this. One, the obvious one, the rising cost of living. But two, the fact that we are more distanced from the production of our food today than we ever have been, I think. And it's easy to forget about the struggles and the hard work that go into producing it. So much so, if you were to go into some schools in some places and you ask youngsters where milk comes from, they would say Asda. Other supermarkets obviously are available. With no concept of a farm, unless they watched Jeremy Clarkson on TV and Diddley Squat Farm. And there are real stories of children from the city going into the countryside and being totally amazed when they see how food is produced. I mean, whoever thought, I'm going to squeeze that and see what comes out of it the first time ever anyway, I think it was either very brave or very foolish. But thanks to that person, we know where milk comes from. So harvest today doesn't mean as much as it did 200 or 300 years ago, when people's lives really did depend on what they could pull out of the ground. And then we go back a few thousand years, we'll find that harvest, there wasn't just one harvest festival in the year for the Jewish people, there were three. Because their whole society, their whole economy was based around producing food. So there are three agricultural festivals, which I'm sure you all know in the original Hebrew. So there's Pesach, Passover. I'm on fairly strong ground here that nobody actually speaks Hebrew in this church. So if I pronounce it wrong, then I might get away with it, but maybe I won't. That was the spring festival, same as we have Passover still in the spring today. Shavuot, which was the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. We still celebrate Pentecost for a different reason than they did. The Feast of Weeks, they'd make booths, and they'd go and live in these booths outside the city to remind themselves of the years of exile and exodus that they were in, and God's provision with manna and stuff like that. And so Shavuot really was 50 days after Pesach, just as Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Then the last one was Sukkoth, Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, in the autumn. And at each festival, they brought offerings of crops. Hang on, Tabernacles is the one with the booths, not the other one. Got that wrong. I was just waiting for you two to tell me off. You know, yes, forget what I said. They built the booths at the Feast of Tabernacles outside the city. There we go. Good. And at each festival, they brought offerings of crops and animals, depending on what they farmed. But not just any old offering. Several passages in the Old Testament laid down what should be brought. For example, Exodus 23, verse 19 says, "Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord." Not just any, not your wonky vegetables and your wonky carrots and stuff like that. The best of your produce to the house of the Lord. Exodus 34, 22. Celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest. The bit that was ready first, that was freshest, that was also seen as the best. And Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And in those days, of course, wealth was determined by how big your farm was, how big your crops were, how big your flocks were, and so on and so forth. So we're looking here at bringing the best that we have to God, not just once a year, but three times a year. And there's a reason that they were commanded to do that, and there's a reason that they did it, and the main reason was to show gratitude to God for his provision, by giving some of it back to him in worship. God, we thank you for blessing us with this bountiful harvest. We'd like to bring some of it back to you in worship. But it also declared trust in God, trust in what was to come, because they brought the first bit and the best bit, and they were hoping and trusting that God would bring other bits as well, which he did, of course. And so all that put together reminded them and helped them celebrate that everything ultimately belongs to God. That he is the Lord, the creator and the provider for all their needs. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. One of the more surprising experiences of my life was we were on holiday in the Malverns, and some of you will know where I'm going with this already, probably. We had a strange guest house. It was a Christian guest house, and there was one chair in the guest house where you weren't allowed to sit. I probably told you this before, but they said, that's where Jesus sits, so you can't sit there. And I was so tempted to go, but I want to sit on his lap. But that's the side. Anyway, has anyone ever walked up Great Malvern? one or two of us have. It's a bit of a trek from here, isn't it? But if you go up to the top, you don't actually have to walk up Great Malvern either. You can drive up to it and there's a car park and do the last bit on foot. But at the top of Great Malvern, there is a stone, and inscribed in the stone are these words: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And you've got this panoramic view out across from Great Malvern into the Midlands. And you just, it's amazing to think that in our country there is something up there on that big hill, because it's not a mountain, is it? It's a big hill. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And these offerings reminded the people of Israel that God was indeed the owner, the creator, and the provider of everything. In short, it was about them recognizing God's place, showing that he's the priority in their lives, putting him first, even in these more practical things. Now, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but I think over the last few weeks we've been looking at something like this, about how do we practically and physically and effectively demonstrate that God is first in our lives. So that's the background to harvest, and then we come to our modern harvest today. And of course that's all very well, but unless you have an allotment, or you do actually own a farm, you don't produce your own foodstuffs. So we can't actually bring the first and best of our foodstuffs to the Lord. But as in the case of so much of the Old Testament, while we don't have to literally follow what it says anymore because of Jesus, there are principles for us to follow, godly principles for us to follow, that help us to apply these things to our day and to our time. So we follow the example of the Jews and we transfer that into our time, and we ask ourselves the questions: what does it mean then for us to bring our first fruits, our best, to show that God is first in our lives, to show that we love him, to show that we're grateful to him, to show that we trust him to provide what we need? And Steve has alluded to this already. But if we can't bring our own fruits or veg or meat, obviously we can go to the supermarket and bring stuff in like we have today, which is great. But we can also bring our money, our talents or abilities, and our time. And if the principle is about honouring God, putting him first, and recognising that everything we have belongs to him anyway, the principle and the challenge to us is to bring the first fruits of our income, our talents and our time to God. To bring the best of what we earn, the best of what we have, the best of what we can do, and the best of our time to God. So then the question becomes, how? How do we do that? If as a Christian believer today, as someone who doesn't own a farm or have an allotment or even grow tomatoes in a window box or anything like that, how can I take this principle on board in my life and show that God is the number one priority in my life with my money, my talents, and my time? Some would say that we follow the Israelites' example and give 10% to God. They were legally obliged to give 10% of their crops on these occasions. So it follows that we should do the same. But I have two problems with that. And this is always one of those slightly, please don't stone me when I say this, but listen to what I'm saying comments. That's got your attention. Oh, what's he going to say? Two problems with that. First of all, the 10% is the minimum that they gave, not the maximum. The minimum they gave to God of their first fruits and their wealth and everything else was 10%. In fact, one writer that I looked up talked about 23% 10% for the first two festivals, 3% for the last one. But the point here is that they were legally obliged to give a minimum of 10%. Okay? Other offerings came through the year as well as these three festivals. And secondly, as Christians, we're no longer under the law because Jesus has fulfilled it. So we shouldn't really be bound up by a legal requirement to give 10%. Let me rephrase that. We shouldn't limit ourselves to 10%. I believe that we are free to decide how much we give to God, because we're under grace, not law. Someone recently said that what is important is not so much the amount that we give, but the attitude with which we give it, the willingness of our heart, back to God loving, a cheerful giver. Steve read earlier on for us, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This message isn't about guilting everybody into giving more. Can I just put that out there straight away, just in case you're wondering? And here's a confession. I really do not like preaching on the subject of money. Really don't like it. In the past, when preachers have preached on money, people think, oh yeah, he's after a pay rise. Or whatever. So I've tried to steer away from it. But as we've been going through this series, it's come up in this context. And what I'm asking each of us to do, myself included, is to think about how having God as our priority impacts our giving. Whether that's financial or in terms of our skills. It was no coincidence that the picture up there about talents was somebody cooking, because we love food in this church, don't we? Or our time. Each of us should give what we've decided in our heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here's the thing. In God's economy, if we grudgingly give £500, or we give £500 and let others know about it to make ourselves feel good, that is less acceptable to him than if we willingly and quietly give a fiver. That's how God's economy works. That's not an excuse for all of us to just smile and give a fiver. Because some of us here depend on your giving to live. Just as the Levites and the priests did back in the old days. 10% of the gift for the harvests and everything else were given to the priests and Levites, who had no land of their own, who had no work of their own apart from ministering to the people. For each of us, it will be different. The amount, this is, will be different. Not least because we all earn different amounts. Back to another principle for this in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 17, it says, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. He was talking about giving to another church, another Christian family, other believers who were in trouble. He said, get the work done and give according to your means. It's not about bankrupting ourselves. It's not about doing anything foolish. It's about giving according to our means. And he goes on, he says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Oh, quite interesting, because again, it's willingness. It's the cheerful giver. It's the willing heart. Yes, I will willingly give up my day to help you move house. Yes, I will willingly put extra money in the offering to, because we need to revamp the building or because we need to replace some equipment and it's going to cost a few thousand pounds. Yes, I will give my skills and talents, whatever they may be. I just picked on cooking, probably because that's subliminally my favourite. The eating's my favourite bit. Carpentry, organisational skills, whatever you are good at. And here's the thing, whatever you're naturally good at, God has gifted you with that because God made you in the first place. So what God's asking us to do is to sanctify what he's already given us in those things. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what does not have. So here's the challenge. To give willingly and cheerfully of the first fruits of our income as part of our lifestyle of worship. It's another story I've told before, but it's appropriate for this particular context. There was an old gentleman who was asked how he decided how to give and how much to give to God. And he said, well, it's quite simple. I throw it up in the air. Anything God catches, he can have. And anything that comes back down, I keep. That's not quite the right attitude. We give willingly and cheerfully as part of our lifestyle of worship. Practically, that means deciding before our pay arrives and before we spend any of it, how much we're going to give to God, to God's kingdom, and to the church to which we belong. Some people ask, should I give out of my gross income or my net income? One reply to that was, it depends whether you want God to bless you in gross or net. But again, we have the freedom as believers in Jesus to decide that for ourselves between us and God. Perhaps the more serious question is, are we putting God first in the area of our finances, our time and our giftings, by committing to give him first dibs of what we earn? I read this on a Christian website this week. Our love for God and his work will show up in how we give our money away. That's quite challenging. May we hear the challenge and respond to it however God wants us to. Ask the question, what does God want me to do with this money? Not how much does he want me to give away? It's a slightly different perspective. Lord, what do you want me to do with this money? What do you want me to do with my, you don't like the word gifts, do you? So talents or abilities. What do you want me to do with my time? Do you want me to spend my time, binge watching Hollyoaks or whatever the latest particular soap opera is? Or do you want me to spend my time doing something to build your kingdom and to show that you are my priority? What do you want me to do with the money, Lord? Do you want me to give to the church to support the mission and ministry here? That answer is yes, by the way. The priority for us as believers and members of this church family is to give to the work of this church. And then we are free to give other stuff away to maybe a charity we support or a Christian missionary organisation or something like that. But the call is to give to support the ministry of the church that we belong to. And I can think of at least five people who would say amen to that, who will rely on your generosity and your gracious giving to keep themselves going. So if you want to set it at 10%, praise the Lord. If you want to set it at more or less, praise the Lord. But let's set it and keep to it. Then we'll have opportunities to receive God's blessings and to share even more with other believers, other mission organisations, or our church family, and so on. Harvest is a day of thanksgiving. It's there in the title. We give thanks, but we also give to God. This is being given to one of the ministries of our church, to the food bank, to bless people in our community. And just to wrap up, it is really important that we think hard, pray hard, and act seriously around these issues. And why do I say that? Well, first of all, it's a command from Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, if you give. Jesus says, when you give. There's no if here, it's when. You can read it in Matthew chapter 6, that great bit of scripture called the Sermon on the Mount. Secondly, it's an act of worship and thanksgiving for who God is and for what he's done, as we've been exploring this morning. Thirdly, it's an opportunity to know and experience more of God's blessing and self-giving love as he responds to our giving. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel here. I'm not saying that the more you give, the more money you will receive. That's not how God works. I don't believe the prosperity gospel is a truthful gospel. I believe that's a distraction from what actually should be happening. But we go back to that passage that we looked at earlier on about storing up treasures in heaven. And the heavenly treasures that we will receive from being generous with our earthly ones will far outweigh anything we feel we might have lost. Some of those we'll receive in this life, some of those we'll receive in the next. Ultimately, it's about giving God his worth and putting him first in all things. So this harvest time, may we connect with him. May we hear what he has to say about how we express our faith, our gratitude and our love for him in these practical ways. May he turn us all into cheerful givers, willingly giving him the first fruits of our labours as we follow Paul's words in Romans 12, Message version. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. We give him everything because he has given us everything in Jesus. Let's be quiet for a moment, then we'll pray and we'll sing our last song. Father God, we thank you that we are under grace, not under law. And we thank you that you encourage us to be cheerful and willing in the giving of our first fruits of money, time, and talents. Lord, if we've been reluctant or remiss in doing that, first of all, would you please forgive us? And secondly, would you help us to work out how we can honour you in this way? Lord, we thank you for all the good things that you do give us. We thank you for your blessings, for the ability to be able to eat, to have homes to live in, to have the basic necessities of life. And we thank you for that blessing that we have in this nation. But we know that even in this nation, not everyone can manage to do that for whatever reason. And then round our world, there's a much worse situation. Lord, would you help us to do what we can in response to what you have already done for us? To decide what our first fruits are and to bring them willingly to you for the glory of your name, for the extending of your kingdom, and for the benefit of others. Help us not to keep to ourselves what you want us to give away, but help us to willingly, cheerfully share it as we surrender it first to you and then to your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not surprisingly, our last song is one about surrender. If there's anything that's been said or sung this morning that you're not sure about, please do come and ask. We do love to hear questions and to help people work through any questions that they might have. If you've got a prayer request, the prayer team will be down here at the front. Or, as I always say, you can turn to the person next to you. If you know they're a Christian and a praying person, ask them to pray for you too. But may we hear God's word and may we let it take root in our hearts and our minds. And may we put it into practice in our lives as we surrender all to him. Thanks, Helen.
We thank you. We thank you and surrender to you, Lord. This church gives so generously. This church and the food bank in particular, as we're in this harvest season, is bursting at the banks to thanks to the generosity of the people within this room and the people that support. I thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray as we move forward today that we think how else we can use our time, how else we can use our gifts, how else we can use the things we're good at. And Lord, show us what they are. Show us how we can take your kingdom forward, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's tea and coffee at the back. As Martin's already said, prayer team will be across here, or come and find any member of the team. Thank you.